The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'll say a few words about the practice, and I'd like to say it with the help of some analogies. Sometimes, especially in teaching mindfulness to children, children's teachers will hold up a bowl that maybe has water in it, maybe a clear bowl, maybe has glitter or something that's floating in it, mud or something. And as long as they keep the bowl shaking it, the mud, the glitter, whatever it is in, will stay floating in the solution. But if they hold the bowl still, everything that's in solution there will settle to the bottom and the water will become clear. But one of the things that's required for this analogy to work is holding the bowl still, holding the glass still. And so the container of the water is held still, and that stillness of the container is what allows the glitter, the mud, or whatever's in there to settle. It's a little bit like when my son was in kindergarten, and I would go visit sometimes, and the kids would be running around as kindergarten, no, they said preschool actually, so more out of control. So running around doing the preschool. And sometimes when they're playing and running around, and it was time for a transition into another activity, the teacher would stand in the middle of the room and stand straight and still and would start to whisper something. And the kids would get very interested and they'd come over and settle down around the teacher and they get really calm. It was much more effective than trying to herd cats, you know, like, you know, if they were just, come here, come sit down, you know. Just, you know, so the teacher held the stillness and the little whispering, the quiet voice, somehow settled the kids. Well, I don't know if it's the best example also of this analogy, but is that of, at least I think in the old days, I don't know if they still do this, there was this idea that if you wanted to tame a wild horse, you tie it to the stake in the middle of the corral. You know, rope tied to the stake. And the horse couldn't go anywhere but to run around in circles. And it's a wild horse. It wants to run away. It's all wild. But it runs and runs and runs in circles until it gets tired and calms down, quiets down. And eventually gets quiet enough that the trainer can come and, I don't know what they do next, put the saddle on or something. And slowly the horse gets trained. But there also what you need is the stillness of that post in the middle of the corral. Without that pole being still, the horse is not going to calm down. So in our practice, sometimes there's lots of activities going on inside of us, physically, emotionally, mentally, thoughts and ideas, that it's helpful to have a reference point of stillness. Not to stop the movement, but to allow everything kind of to quiet down and to come to a rest. And it's relatively easy, perhaps, in the sitting meditation, where we're actually holding our body still. And there's a kind of, within reason, a commitment to kind of not move the body, hold it still. And that stillness then allows tensions to begin to dissolve or settle away, relax a little bit. It kind of allows different things to kind of quiet. But one of the reasons is because there becomes a contrast between the stillness of the container or of the anchor, the post in the middle, or whatever how you want to call this, the stillness is for you. And there's a contrast with all the movement. And by becoming aware of that contrast, you can actually see the movement better. If you're in the middle of the movement, sometimes you can't see how much it's moving. But if you find a place as a reference point of stillness somewhere, then you can see it, and just seeing it clearly can allow it to settle, but also seeing it in the context of some stillness inside. And part of how this works is if we start not identifying so strongly with the movement. Many times we're concerned with the movement, we're the thoughts, the feelings, even the body sensations, we're kind of like reacting to it or wanting to do something with it or get involved in it. And in the extreme version, we identify with it, we define ourselves with it, or we latch onto it in a strong way. But if instead we kind of begin focusing on the stillness that's here, it helps us to begin to disidentify, unlatch ourselves from this world of movement and activity. And when we unlatch ourselves from it, then it has a chance to settle down and quiet. So as you sit here today, the next sitting, you might see if you look for, is there some sense of stillness that you can find? Even just, it could be as simple as a stillness of the body not moving as you sit here. Or there could be some still place inside, some place inside that feels like an anchor or a grounded post or something that's still and quiet. All the movement can kind of move around, but it's clearly there's some place that you're centered that has a place of stillness. And see what that does to you. See what that does to the movement. Just the fact that you can see the difference between a place that's still and the movement. And you kind of begin, if anything, identifying with the stillness, or resting there more than the world of movement. In walking meditation, it can be a little bit harder to do, but it can be done there too, to kind of, even though you're moving, to have a sense of stillness in the body. Sometimes, you know, that upper torso especially is not particularly so actively moving, and so you have a sense that upper torso can provide a sense of stability or steadiness or stillness, as the lower legs, the lower body kind of does the moving as you walk. Or sometimes an imagination that I use is I kind of imagine that I'm not actually walking. I'm kind of like standing still and the world's coming to me. And that little, it's not a dramatic kind of imagining, but it's a little shift. Kind of, oh, it's coming to me. Then I get a greater sense of stillness that's here as well. Or sometimes there's a sense just deep inside that people can find a still, quiet place that's deep somehow in the body or in the mind or someplace. And that can be there as a reference point as we do walking. And so there's a lot of movement, but there's also this place of stillness that informs us, that creates a contrast, that creates this little shift of identification, of latching on that we have. So as you practice today, you might see if that contrast between movement and stillness might be supportive of you, and might help the stilling process to unfold more strongly or in a more productive way for you as you're here. Thank you.